This is the audio interview for the Sugar Hill Historical Preservation Society for Warren Johnson. Hey, Warren, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. More importantly, how are you doing?
Doing just fine, thank you.
Good.
Good. Is it okay if I record this conversation today?
Yep,
awesome.
Not a problem.
Okay, all right, well, let's get started. So, did you grow up in Sugar Hill?
No, I actually grew up in northern Minnesota, lived in Chicago for a while, and Montana, and Idaho, I guess, for a while, and then moved to Minnesota when I was about probably, or back to Minnesota when I was probably about, I guess, maybe 5 or 6 years old, something like that.
Okay. So when did you move to Georgia?
I moved to Georgia in 1980. I was driving a race car for Jerome Bradford.
Okay. And where did you live at when you moved to Georgia?
Originally in Norcross, and then I had a home built on North Berkeley Lake. And then I was working at a shop that the Jerry Brown dealership had. And I worked there until about 1988, somewhere in that era. And then I built this shop that I'm currently located at in 1989 and been here ever since.
Okay. 1989. And where is that shop located at now?
700 North Price Road, Sugar Hill, Georgia.
Okay. What made you choose that location?
I was looking to build a shop because I just needed more space and had more equipment coming in for the race program. And this just happened to work out right as far as location. It was zoned heavy industrial, which, you know, engine dynos can get rather noisy once in a while. And the railroad tracks are behind me, so they make about as much noise as our race shop. So it all worked out fine. The location suited us, and it just everything was kind of what we were looking for.
Okay. And so your home place is not located in Sugar Hill, just your business.
Yeah, I guess technically we'd be in Buford, which is only about a mile and a half, 2 miles from here.
Okay. Okay. So I guess you've seen a lot of changes in the area since 1989.
Oh my God, yeah. The only thing was the Hardee's at the corner there, and I don't even think there was any bank buildings when I first moved here, and then it's totally grown up from there. And this area where I'm located now, Mr. Tubbs is located right across the street from me, and there's a Elite Awning is next to me, and then they're putting all kinds of housing in on the other side of the street. So it's starting to get a little crowded.
Right, right. Now, you said you just live about a mile away. You're married?
Yep.
Okay.
Been married for, I don't know, close to 60 years, I guess.
Okay. Do you mind giving me your wife's name?
Arlene. A-R-L-E-N-E.
Okay. Any children?
Just one son, Kurt. He works with me at the shop here. He runs the engine dynos and does a lot of assembly work.
Okay. So did he grow up going to any of the schools in the area?
No, actually he went to school up in Fridley, Minnesota, and the reason we kept them there was the schools up there were so far superior to what you have down here, so we let them finish his high school up there. And since then, you've improved the quality of your schools a little bit, but not by much.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about your racing. How did you get started?
Oh, I guess just like everybody else, street racing, whatnot, and then I was building engines. I ran some structural steel shops and various fabricating shops in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And then was interested in racing as just a side, hobby, so to speak. And I was building engines for various forms of racing, drag racing, circle track racing, boat racing, sporty car racing. And I was successful in any venue I wanted to participate in as far as engine building was concerned. So I decided that I'll probably use racing as a vocation from then on and don't regret it. Started full-time in 1976.
Okay. Full-time. All right. And tell me a little bit about the type of racing that you did once you got started.
Well, it's drag racing, quarter mile, most of it. There wasn't hardly any eighth mile racing back then, but it was all quarter mile. I participated in the pro stock category, which is the fastest body category they have and the only professional gas-burning category they have. And they resemble basically a stock-type car with about, right now we've got about 1,500 horsepower in these things. They do 0 to 60 in less than a second and 0 to 100 in less than 2 seconds and cover quarter mile in about 6.5 seconds at about 215 miles an hour.
Okay. All right. And I know that you've got some wins, I guess, for lack of better terms, in the pro stock racing. Elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, I had the most amount of wins at 97 national events in the NHRA category, and then I won 6 championships over there, and then I also raced IHRA, which I won 2 championships over there. And I forget, I think it was 13 or 15 races that I won over a 2-year period there. And I also raced AHRA, American Hot Rod Association, which was predominantly in the Midwest and West. And I don't really remember how many races I won over there, but I won quite a few. Didn't win any championships over there, but I won quite a few races.
Okay, so 97 in the NHRA,
mm-hmm.
15 in the IHRA?
Correct.
And you're unsure on the AHRA?
Yeah, I'm sure I won. Well, I know I won 4 races for sure, but because I won multiple races in Arizona and then Kansas City, I won there, and so I really don't remember how many races I won. I went there to race. I went there to win. Didn't really count it. Just moved on to the next one. Dwell on any of them because it's just what I was supposed to do is I was supposed to win. Otherwise, since you're making a living at racing, you have to win it unless you're going to start with a fortune and work it down to nothing,
right,
which most people do.
And you were one of the first NHRAs to exceed the 200 mile per hour.
Yeah, I was the first to run 160, 180, 190, and 200 miles an hour, and Kurt was the first car to run less than 7 seconds. He ran a 698 in Englishtown, New Jersey, about 1993, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, we set quite a few records in the NHRA. I really don't have any idea how many. We just never kept track of them.
Okay. At what age were you for the oldest win?
I believe I was 67 or something like that.
Okay.
And that was the oldest professional winner in the NHRA at that time, and I'm sure there's probably been a few since then that are older than that, but nevertheless, I set that, I believe, in 2010 or something around there.
Okay. All right. And you also won the AAA Midwest Nationals, too.
That was the one that I won, was 67, to be the oldest professional winner in NHRA.
Okay. All right.
That was in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. What other things did you do during your racing career that you would like to elaborate on?
I raced over in Japan, Puerto Rico, quite a few tracks in Canada. So, we didn't just race in the U.S. here. And our races in the U.S. cover basically the majority of states. So we got to see the whole country at that point in time, and actually rather enjoyed it. It was better than sitting in an office looking out the window.
Yeah. Well, I bet Kurt thought he had the coolest dad in the world growing up.
I don't know about that, but he enjoyed the racing, too. There's no doubt about it. We were the first father-son team to win, be winner and runner-up in the championship series. Oh, I think about 1996 or 97 summers or in that era.
1996, 97?
Somewhere around there. It could have been 92. I don't honestly remember.
Okay.
Some of those stats, you just don't dwell on them. And they are what they are. And I guess they're recorded someplace.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else that you want to add about your racing or Kurt's racing?
No, I mean, it's something we enjoyed. When you have a job that you absolutely enjoy, you don't have a job. You got an opportunity to succeed, and you don't punch a time clock. You work however long it takes to get the whatever task you're trying to accomplish at that point in time. So it's if everybody had that opportunity in whatever line of work they are doing, if they absolutely enjoyed it, that's a perfect scenario, and you don't mind doing putting in the hours it takes to be successful, and that's what it takes to be successful. You have to be just driven to accomplish what you need to be successful.
Right. And when you were working prior to beginning racing, where you built and you said you worked at the Jerry Brown dealership.
Mm-hmm.
What type of work were you doing at that time?
Well, up in Minnesota, I was running a structural steel plant up there, and then I went to run a fabricating shop that did a majority of work for the snowmobile industry at that point in time. And then from there, I went to a machine shop. Eventually ended up buying out the machine shop so I could have my own engine building business, and that's where it all started. That was about 1969 or 70, somewhere in that era. And in the meantime, I was going to the University of Minnesota and studying engineering, industrial engineering, psychology, and chemistry.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, do you still race today?
No, I haven't raced for about 6 years right now. Just the economics of racing aren't there anymore. I couldn't do today what I did back then as far as the financial side of it, because I depended on winning to make a living. And since purses have been reduced substantially, they're down probably 75% where they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the feasibility of making a living racing nowadays is just about impossible unless you're heavily sponsored, which I enjoyed the relationship with GM for roughly 25 years where I was involved with them. So we did have sponsorship from them and various other companies, but not to the point that it it would provide for making a substantial income off it. It just provided us with enough parts that we had the opportunity to produce better race cars and engines than the majority of people had, and that allowed us to win.
Yeah, kept your cars together.
You got it.
Yeah. So you mentioned GM as being one of your sponsors. Were there any other pretty big sponsors that you had?
Well, we had GM from 1983 through 2009.
Okay.
We had GM, and then we had K&N filters. They were part of our program for a while, and then we had a lot of associate sponsors along the way that, you know, they all contributed. That's, these race cars don't run on gasoline. They run on money.
Yeah. That is correct. Out of all of your places that you've been and traveled out of the country, what would you say was the most exciting race that you did or place that you went to race?
Well, the most unusual one was when I raced in Japan, where we raced at Fuji Speedway, and you couldn't do a burnout with the car on the racetrack. They had to have a pad on the side of the racetrack to do the burnout, warm the tires up and whatnot. So it was rather unusual there, but if I remember correctly, they had a crowd of about 50,000 people there that day. I mean, it was just jam-packed, and that's a Formula One track over there, which has got a ridiculous amount of seating space, and it was a rather unusual over there. And then I did a number of USO tours to Kuwait and Germany, and that was rather enjoyable. Let me see that part of the country. And then I raced in Puerto Rico two or three times over the years. And anytime you get to go to a different country and just kind of analyze what they're doing, it's, to me, that's interesting. Just to get an idea that, their customs and whatnot are such, and ours are different, and they're both right. So you just have to accept other people's viewpoints and way of life as being correct too. You know, we aren't perfect over here.
Any funny stories that you want to share?
I couldn't do any of that.
You couldn't do any of that. Okay. All right. So nothing you want to share on that or anything?
No.
Okay. All right.
Racing was too serious for me to have funny stories.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I noticed, I guess that's your team. I noticed you wrote a book.
Well, I didn't write a book. A book was written about me by a woman named Kelly Wade, who used to be, she was a journalist for National Hot Rod Association, and she went to start freelancing, and this opportunity to write this book about me came up by, actually it's from a company in Minnesota that, CarTech Books, that write quite a few books about, basically, about racing and people involved in it, and engine modifications. It's basically all gearhead related stuff, and she wrote a book it's about a year ago, and they sold out on the first printing of it, and they're running a second printing of it right now, so
okay.
I guess sold relatively successfully.
Okay. All right. Are there any highlights? Have you read the book?
We were involved in it. She came down here and went through all our archives as far as photos and that sort of thing. And so she interviewed us here, and then we got to read the first draft of it, which they had to make a few alterations for dates and times and people. people's names, so that all got pretty much corrected. And then the second edition, they had a few corrections to be made on that yet, too. So, but they were minor corrections, just names and locations.
Okay. What are highlights of the book that you would like to share with us?
Well, the highlights would have to be determined by the reader. You know, I lived it, so it was not, there was no particular highlights. This is just the way I made a living with a race car, which very few people have the opportunity to do that in their lifetime. And so I had to highlight it every day the way I looked at it, because I had a perfect job, because I enjoyed what I was doing. If I had to work 24 hours a day, it didn't bother me.
All right. And so I guess Arlene was very supportive of...
Oh, yeah, she's been here the whole time.
Yeah, of your career path that you chose.
Well, she rather enjoyed it too, I'm sure. So it worked out for both of us, so to speak.
Okay. All right. Okay, and I also noticed that you are a member of Kids Toys Board.
Yeah, the board of directors on that, which evolved into an entertainment company, is basically where it is right now. It's listed under U42, and that started out as producing toys to educate kids on maintenance of cars and so forth, and that was, oh God, that's been years ago. And so that was another opportunity I had.
Okay, and that was, you said that was to educate kids on, like, learning how to make the car?
Maintenance of cars, you know, what needs to be done on them, what they can do, and so forth. So it was just an educational tool, was basically what it was originally intended to be.
Okay. How did you become about getting on that board?
A guy just approached me one day as he heard about me, you know, the racing part of it, and came over and introduced himself and his company, and thought I could offer some assistance as far as designing some of these toys.
Okay, so this is not like little cars that kids race or anything.
No, this is more or less
just an educational thing, yeah. So kids can understand what's going on inside the car.
Model size cars. No.
Okay. And so do you remember what year you started that?
No, I honestly don't. It's probably about 10, 15 years ago, something like that. Time flies when you're having fun.
Okay, so 10 years. Would have been about 2007, 2008.
Somewhere around there.
And do you sit on the board today? You said it evolved into the U42. Are you still a member of it, or sit on the board?
No.
Okay. How long were you affiliated with it?
About 7 or 8 years.
Okay. Okay, and so your overall actual physical racing days was from like 76 till when did you do your last race?
2014.
Okay, and now, does the book, does it recognize all of your awards and all of that?
Yeah, pretty much got everything in there, because I've been inducted into a number of Hall of Fames and so forth. So all of that is pretty well represented in there.
Okay. What Hall of Fames were you inducted in?
International Motorsports Hall of Fame in Talladega, Alabama. The Georgia Racing Hall of Fame out of Dawsonville, Georgia. And the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America out of, they're originally out of Detroit, and now I believe they're located in Daytona Beach, Florida. In fact, one of my cars is on display down there.
Okay.
The 200-mile-an-hour car is down there.
You said the 200-mile, the one where you did the 200-mile.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. That one's down there. Then I got a Distinguished Alumni Award from the high school I attended when I was in Minnesota. And
what was that for?
They just labeled it as the Distinguished Alumni. Apparently, I had done a lot more than most of the kids that had graduated from there. And so that was the first one ever. That was, I think, 2012 when I was inducted into there.
Okay. And let's see. And okay, anything else that stands out that you'd like to add?
No, it sounds like you got more information on me than I have.
Well, I did Google you, so I found it very interesting that you know we had somebody famous here in Sugar Hill. So
you had another character in Sugar Hill is what you really meant to say.
Yeah. Well, it is very interesting. So, since you built your shop in Sugar Hill, what has life been like in Sugar Hill since 1989?
Well, you know, best I could call it is wonderful because I really haven't had any problems at all here. It's kind of nice and quiet. I don't have to have a sign out front or anything like that. If people want to find me, they know what they can find the address of it. But it's been pretty nice is all I can say. I've enjoyed this area here at the airport because I was flying out almost every week when I was racing full time. So Atlanta Airport wasn't that far away and whatnot, and had good access to the freeways for the tractor trailers that haul these race cars because we got three tractor trailers here that haul the race cars.
And so I guess you had a whole team. How many was on your team for when you would go out for a race?
Actually, I probably had the most. Well, I came from a real frugal background, so I wasn't going to waste money on it. I just had the number of people that it took to get the job done, and there was really only three of us on each car, three on my car and three on Kurt's car, including the, myself and Kurt as the drivers. And then, but at the shop here, we, I think we had as many as 14 people working because we did a lot of machining.
Okay. And you mentioned when the lady that did the book, that she came and interviewed you and went through stuff. Do you have like a showroom in your shop with some of your famous pictures and stuff like that?
No. Arlie's office has got most of the trophies and all that stuff out there. And there's that's just on the other side of the wall from where my office is. But, you know, we got a lot of pictures on the walls from stuff from the past Hall of Fame stuff and like that and World Championship trophies and so forth. So,
okay.
If you ever want to stop by and take some pictures of it, that's fine.
I was still riding. That was going to be my next question, if we could do that and maybe share to put that in with our... We have a small museum, so we are gathering all information, and since this is your home place where your shop has landed, it's very interesting to us. So, yes, would like to get with you and get some information, and like I said, you may even get a call to do an actual video interview from me doing this audio interview. What is Warren Johnson doing today?
Still machining parts and making things and doing a lot of research and development on various engine combinations and components and whatnot. I'm here 7 days a week.
Okay.
Like I say, hell, when you enjoy what you're doing, you don't look at a time clock.
Right. And you said that your son is still helping you too.
Yep.
So y'all do that together.
He still works here 6 days a week. Seven if we've got something that has to get done.
Okay. You have any grandchildren?
Three.
All right.
One's a nurse. She works full-time. One of them, they all went to college. Jared, he went to vocational school. He's a welder over at Caterpillar. And Connor, he went to school for finance, and he's over at Home Depot.
Okay.
So they're all working.
All
right. And I was fortunate enough, I made enough money, I paid for all their education.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure they appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
Even
today, what the cost of education is.
Absolutely. I was asking, though, mainly just to see if we had any more little racers in the family besides Kurt.
No, Erin, the girl, she wanted to drive a race car, but we convinced her there's a better way of making a living, so she turned to nursing.
Okay.
She's a RN.
So we appreciate her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No. It's I think you've pretty much covered all the bases.
Okay. All right. Well, I sure do appreciate your time today. It was very interesting, and when I Googled you, I found some very interesting stuff. So
unusual is what you should say.
Not really. I've been here a long time, and I've heard your name over the years. But, you know, I knew you raced, but I didn't know what or when or, you know, I didn't know any of the details. So I've enjoyed today getting to know you. And, yes, I will take you up on that invitation. I'll give you a call at a later date. And
sure.
I'd like to come over and take some pictures and see some of your trophies. And maybe you'll tell me some more stories then.
You're on.
Okay. Well, I sure do appreciate it. You have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.